From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Living for God in the Light of Our Blessings, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Thank Him, Dwell Acceptably. The text is Psalm 140 and verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. Oh, that my heart may be upright, that I may always be able to bless the name of the Lord. He is so good to those that be good, that I would fain be among them, and feel myself full of thankfulness every day. Perhaps for a moment the righteous are staggered when their integrity results in severe trial. But assuredly the day shall come when they shall bless their God that they did not yield to evil suggestions and adopt a shifty policy. In the long run, true men will thank the God of the right for leading them by a right way. Oh, that I might be among them! What a promise is implied in the second clause. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. They shall stand accepted where others appear only to be condemned. They shall be the courtiers of the great king, indulge with audience whensoever they desire it. They shall be favored ones upon whom Jehovah smiles, and with whom he graciously communes. Lord, I covet this high honor, this precious privilege. It will be heaven on earth to me to enjoy it. Make me in all things upright, that I may today and tomorrow and every day stand in thy heavenly presence. Then will I give thanks unto thy name evermore. Amen.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how
unsounding glory, His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he approaches the conclusion of this extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns has come to chapter 24, the final chapter of the book. Here, Joshua rehearses before the children of Israel the mighty acts of God, who had brought them into the promised land and gave them victory over their enemies. Fully aware of their tendency to wander off and to forget what the Lord had done, Joshua challenges them to choose whom they would serve, the Lord God or the gods of the nations around them. God had indeed done great things for them, and so has he done for all of his people down through the centuries. In a message entitled, Living for God in the Light of Our Blessings, Dr. Cairns calls upon believers to count their blessings daily and to remain true to the God who has saved them. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, we're reading verses 1 through 21 in Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. Ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served in the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, he is a jealous God, he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you, after that he hath done you good. The people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this portion of his own precious word for his name's sake. Joshua's final message to the nation of Israel is always an important one, but it is particularly appropriate for us at this Thanksgiving season. As we read this passage, we discover it to be a survey of the Lord's dealings in grace with his chosen people, starting with Abraham and tracing the Lord's mighty deeds through the years until their own time. Joshua showed to the children of Israel that they had every reason to be grateful to God, and therefore to be fully dedicated to the Lord's service. As we read this passage of Scripture, we find that we have the same reasons as they. Indeed, we could argue we have greater reasons than they to give ourselves over to the Lord in thankfulness and in consecrated service. I think there's one sentence you could write over this passage of Scripture, and it would fix its message on our heart. I trust that in our own minds and souls, we will perceive this and live by it. And it's simply this: we have received our rich inheritance from the Lord, and we should therefore serve him accordingly. We have received our rich inheritance from the Lord, therefore we should serve him accordingly. There's an old Chinese proverb which says, when you drink of the streams, remember the spring. That really brings home to us what Joshua was saying to these people, and what the Lord would be saying to us. We drink of the stream. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the psalmist tells us. Again he says, the river of God is full of water. We drink of the stream, of the rich fullness of God's grace toward us. Therefore, we should ever remember the spring. I was reading a statement from Scott, one of Scotland's great writers and great novelist, Robert Louis Stevenson. He said, keep both eyes open for your mercies. Sounds a bit like a preacher in saying that. Keep both eyes open for your mercies. I got up this morning, I felt tired and distracted, and I couldn't seem to get my thoughts in gear, and I couldn't seem to really get going. And as I stepped toward the door that looks out over the garden at the back of the house, there was a thought in my mind, this is not a very happy day. And as soon as the thought struck me, another thought came, I think, to rebuke me. Why on earth would you think that? This is a happy day. I looked up, and believe me, coming from Northern Ireland, this is to me a never-ending wonder, a matter of wonder, that here in the fall and coming into the winter time of the year, I could look out and see a cloudless blue sky. I love to see a blue sky. It's especially in wintertime. And I said, well, the sky's blue, the sun's shining. Then I thought of what I read in the fifth chapter of Revelation this morning. God is on his throne. The Lamb is in the midst of the throne. It is a happy day. I'm alive. I have health and strength. I have God's grace. I'm rightly related to him. My sins are forgiven. Why would it not be a happy day? Very easy for us to focus on the one or two things that grieve us at a given time. Very easy to get your mind on the negative and simply slump into despair and depression. But, as Robert Louis Stevenson said, keep both eyes on your mercies. The man who has forgotten to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. God save us this morning from sleepwalking through life. God save us from simply going through life in that trance-like state that we cannot enjoy the rich fullness that the Lord has granted to us. And let us learn from Joshua chapter 24 this morning that we have a rich inheritance from our God, and we should therefore serve him accordingly. I want to talk to you therefore today very simply on living for God in the light of our blessings. As we read this passage, we discover first that the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us. That's the testimony of the people of God in every age. You remember the psalmist said it. Even the heathen had to confess when they looked at the people of God, the Lord had done great things for them. And the psalmist's own heart echoed that. He hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. This is what Joshua is impressing upon our hearts as we read this 24th chapter. The Lord hath done great things for us. Start counting your blessings. Somebody said that the most difficult form of arithmetic for people to learn is to count their blessings. And I think that's very true. And as we start enumerating the blessings of the Lord, as the old hymn said, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It will surprise you first that the Lord has done it. For why should he do anything for us? He owes us nothing. We owe him everything. Why should he do anything for us? Why should God be good to you and me? People strut through life, you know, as if the Lord owed them something. As if it were something that God had to do to make them healthy or wealthy or blessed in some other way. But God owes us nothing but the judgment fires of hell. It is goodness in the Lord's part that gives us anything. Remember this, anything more than hell for you and me is goodness and grace from our God. So let us learn to count our blessings. And as we enumerate them, we tend to accentuate the least of God's blessings. Now, I don't mean that any blessing from the Lord is really a small thing. But in comparison, we tend to focus on the way we feel in our body, the food we have on our table, how much money we have to spend, what job we have. Now again, these are obviously important things. But that's not where the Lord starts. If you look at this passage, you find, first of all, he has saved us. If you can say this morning, the Lord is my Savior. The Lord has saved me. You have the greatest blessing that any son of Adam can ever have. Joshua emphasizes this in this final message, and he notes the three great deliverances which the Lord has given to his people. Notice that he mentions how the Lord delivered Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Verse 3, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And then you discover how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And then, finally, how he brought Israel out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Verse 7 and 8, ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and then so on down across Jordan to their full possession. So here are three deliverances.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.